Okay, well, it's nice to be back at the Beltwide again after a bit of an absence. I'm a last-minute substitute for Carol Skelly, one of the authors of this paper. This is, in a sense, what I'm representing is a work that we, joint work we do in the part of forecasting the outlook for world and U.S. cotton markets at USDA. So what I'm going to talk about today is it came out of an effort we're doing to forecast the short-term outlook for cotton consumption. But I think that actually, in the course of developing the models, you get some insights into what long-term cotton consumption would likely to be by the nature of coming up with a model that works in the short run. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use two models. One is just a model of the annual change in cotton consumption using the annual change in income and prices, and also we had to get a few shock variables in there to filter out the shocks. And then also something going back to what John was talking about earlier, where we convert all the imports of textiles into fiber equivalents. And so we look at the cotton share of that trade. And we forecast the cotton share of U.S. textile imports as a lagged ratio of the cotton to polyester prices, and then also looking at some shock variables. So this is sort of where where we are now, that we have the red line is world cotton consumption. You can see that even using a sort of conservative trend, the one going back to all the way to 1960, we're below trend right now through 2014. And you can also see with the blue bars, the ICAC's global share, cotton share of world fiber consumption. And you see a sharp downturn. I mean, there's a long-term trend. We're always going to be seeing some decline in share, partly because man-made fibers are used for industrial purposes that cotton will never reclaim. But we had a very sharp downturn. And John already alluded, to what happened. We all know what happened. There was a global financial crisis. We've had relatively weak economic growth since then. But I just thought I'd, add a little quantification that was the biggest, the most negative income shock in peacetime we've seen since 1931. And then likewise, we all know there was a big price shock. But in fact, you have to go back to 1862 to see that kind of shock in real terms. Now the model that we're using to forecast consumption basically uses price and income, and so I just wanted to lay it out for you so you could see that, for instance, income is actually globally is a fairly good guide to a very high correlation with changes in world cotton consumption. This is the International Monetary Fund's purchasing power parity adjusted income change, and the purchasing power parity one, as opposed to the market exchange rate version, is appropriate because of the difference in purchasing power in low-income countries is much greater given the low cost of non-traded goods. And then I also want to point out is that the IMF's long-run outlook, what we see is going out ahead 1 year, we see that the outlook for income is actually positive compared to what we've seen the last couple of years. And then likewise in the long run. And actually, this was the October IMF forecast. And a couple of weeks ago, the IMF published on their blog some analysis of the impact of lower oil prices. And they said that for 2016, calendar 2016, they thought there would be a 0.4 to 0.8% increase in global income growth based on the oil price shock. So that's further positive evidence. And I just, again, to highlight that big shock we had to income back in 2008. Now, in this graph, I have actually reversed the scale for price in order to get them to line up nicely with cotton consumption. But again, you see a relatively high correlation. That the graph is a little busier, but actually within my sample of 1977 to 2011, we basically have a 56% correlation for both of them. It's about the same. And again, there's that big downward shock. Now, Darren may have oversold how I was going to talk about some of the things that would address the issues he's facing in his long-term analysis of the China changes, except for one thing. He did use a 1-point-something, a low growth rate for cotton consumption. I just want to point out, for what won't be the first time, that we have the long-run average is 1.8%. You know, when you're one rule of forecasting is if you want to make a forecast for something, just go with the long-run average. You know, you can go with yesterday, you know, which is one way to look at it, but generally the long-run average is a very good starting point. Now, another thing I wanted to point out from this is that on the one hand, you know, income and cotton prices have grown, you know, at relatively comparable absolute rates, but the variability of cotton prices is 20 times out of income. I mean, that's probably not going to be a shock to anybody. And then also this points out the other variables in the model. And so, in a way, so this is, for me, this is the funnest part of the presentation, so you can relax now. But you can look at it this way, say price and income have about similar impacts on world cotton consumption. You know, cotton varies 20 times as much, but has an elasticity about 1/20th of what income does. And you might be looking at this saying, an income elasticity of 2. Don't forget, this is a short-run model, and cotton is a semi-durable good. And so like automobiles and so forth, it has a very high, its short-run income elasticity is much higher than its long-run elasticity, or at least higher. And so what we have is a very low, the long-run price elasticity of cotton would probably be higher than this 0.1. But, and I'd also like to point out, I keep in the model some of these variables that are tested out as insignificant. This is a forecasting model, and so I am willing to accept the fact that there are effects that are in the variables that I don't necessarily see here, and it's not really that the way. It's an important thing to remember is that although we think about interfiber competition between cotton and polyester driving things, one of the factors that comes back to is the total cost of buying a textile product. And so the total cost goes up when both cotton and polyester go up. So on the one hand, you know, this polyester would seem like you might want to drop it, but, you know, like I said, for various reasons I've kept it in. And then there's one final thing. I mentioned that we have that on a year-to-year basis, consumption is driven by income and price. But when you go through a model like this where you're breaking things down and doing a one-year forecast, you find yourself with a large number of outliers. And to some extent, you know, it's appropriate that you anticipate these as you're building your model. Another perspective is, in fact, you discover statistically some events and you can actually tie them into something, it's appropriate to put them in there into your model. Now, many of these variables, you say, have a China aspect. I mean, the 1986 upward shot could be the U.S. farm legislation, but there was a lot going on in China then. In 1998, China did a huge reform of its state-owned enterprises. 2004, we had the end of the multi-fiber arrangement, and of course, and China's very diverse industrial policy investment decisions. And then in 2011, again, that biggest price increase since 1862, but also, you can look at it, 700% times greater than any price increase we've had since 1973. So that's bound to have some effects. And so anyhow, this is where we are now. This is the problem John described, is that we're living in the world after this. And so I'm going to do a forecast that stays in this world, and at the end I'll come back and talk about, you know, what might happen next. Now, I have yet to find a free, reliable forecast of polyester prices. And so I just sort of cooked up this little relationship between the change in the ratio and the change in the A index. And using this and knowing that it behaves odd when cotton prices go up a lot, I can use this to create our forecast for world cotton consumption. And the outlook is actually, OA was talking yesterday about a very strong outlook for 2015, and this supports a very strong outlook. I mean, even when you change with a wide range of A index for 2015, because it's the lag price that has a bigger effect, you don't see very much of a variation. And again, this is like, could be as much as triple the long run average, which no matter how you look at it, except when if you go to this most recent short run with includes some very negative shocks, you're looking at 1.8%. Now, the model has a very large statistical prediction interval. You know, this is, I'm telling you, I really like my forecast, but I'm saying next year cotton will grow between 0 and 10%, consumption will grow between 0 and 10%. However, if the I actually used the data only through 2011 to estimate the model. And so in these 2 years, when we in fact know what income and prices are, it's got a very good record. So I think it's relatively safe to say that we'll probably, to predict over above average consumption. Now, what's going to happen, you know, Darren did talk about China, and it's one thing to just talk about prices, but there is going to be a very big change coming up in China. Part of what happened in 2011 was we lost China, you might say. They bore a disproportionate share of the decline, and they haven't been coming back. So if they reform, even though you could look at it conversely, Darren says, if China reforms, as long as world consumption grows, you know, that'll be all right. Another way to look at it is, if China reforms, even if world consumption grows, they'll be taking away consumption from other countries. You know, maybe. I'm not making that as a prediction. What I'm pointing out is that what we're seeing going forward is a big change in that respect. China's been out of the market to some extent and likely to come back. The other model we use looks at this share of cotton share in imports. It's gone down 6 percentage points in recent years following that big price shock. And interestingly, if we were to have the A index fall so that the ratio was 1, so then we would get, like, you know, basically you do minus 10 and 59%, you get 49%. You still, even with such a drastic decline in the A index, you're still left with 3 percentage point decline in the share. Assuming, you know, again, what I have done is I have made completely exogenous everything except the presence of something that happened at a certain date. The decisions about changing your fiber share are, you know, very complicated, and this model in no way captures it. We tried to refine things, and it was interesting to find that we have a constant price ratio, and all we can do is just get different shocks for different periods of time, capturing what's happened over time with absolutely no explanation for them. But we use this model to forecast the fiber share of cotton imports, and you know the price ratio between cotton and polyester has improved. We have a 12-year lag on this. And we can even now, looking at the Zhengzhou Futures Exchange, you can go a little further forward in your own mind, and you can come up with an expectation of an increase in the share, the cotton share of U.S. fiber textile imports. If you then extrapolate that on a global basis, I mean, one of the reasons the global data is the important one. We look at this one because every month we get an update. We don't have to wait until December for ICAC to give us their new number. So using this model, it's consistent with a 4 to 6 million bale increase in global consumption in 2015, which is in the ballpark of the percent increase the other model shows. So where does that leave us? Basically, we've done some work that suggests from two perspectives that we can expect above average growth in world cotton consumption in 2015. And I guess I should have put well above, given that the long-run growth rate is 1.8%, and we're talking, you know, at least double, perhaps triple that. But then in the course of that work, in the course of filtering out shocks to get an estimate of the short-run impact of income and price on consumption, in the course of filtering out shocks with respect to forecasting the share, we're left with, you know, with estimates of the magnitude of the impact of the shocks. And so then, the question is, are these shocks permanent? I mean, using the share model, well, using both of those models, you can change prices and you'll only change consumption so much. But if those shocks reverse themselves, or if they're downward trends, it'll come out different. I know some people talk about whether this is the change in fiber share is an acceleration of the downward trend. And my attitude has always been that these shocks would erode, that this incredible price volatility we had in 2010 and 11, you know, frightened textile manufacturers. damage the way the market functions. And this would erode over time, and we'd see some regaining. Likewise, we lost China's great supply chain. The efficiencies of China were, to some extent, smothered. And if we can bring China back into full production capacity, the shock will erode. But I honestly realize our technical change, you hear about all these new fibers, the engineering, and that's appropriate. Polyester can be engineered forever. You know, cotton's engineering is going to be a little more slow. And it could be that shock simply accelerated the adoption of technical change. And so as a result, it'll be similar to what we've seen in the past, is that when we lose share, you never really regain it back, which all you can do is like hold the line for a while. In any case, it is possible that we would see some additional gains over time. But the best forecast we have right now is saying that we can see some above average growth for consumption at least for 1 year. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I used up all my time, but maybe they'll let me take one. I'll just put up the advertisements while this is one of the Foreign Ag Service is a good source of cotton information, and also USDA. We have a web page where we have a great deal of information. So, well. Well, the Chinese, I mean, because the Chinese price, what happened, the Chinese price drove that consumption out into India, you know, so I think that so in a sense, it's almost like a theoretical thing. I mean, clearly in China, the Chinese price is what drove consumption down. But since it resulted in opportunities for everybody else to spin and send them yarn, I felt it was more appropriate to work with the A index, and it'd be better if the model actually did address the China issue more directly, because we know China's changing, and so, in that sense, your point is well taken.